Broadcasting live from the beautiful Venetian and Sands Expo Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. For Collaborate 14 OAUG Forum, it's OAUG Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Lee Cantor and Stone Payton.
Lee Cantor with Stone Payton, day three of Radio AUG live at the Sands Expo. Stone, how you doing?
I'm doing well, but once again, and once and for all, I'd like for you to explain to me why you get top billing on the introduction.
I know the voiceover person.
You hired the voiceover
talent,
didn't you?
That's a secret.
No, this is day three, and we have had an absolute blast. We've had some marvelous conversations over the last couple of days. This is going to be no exception as we kick off day three. We have with us board member with OAUG and vice president, as if that wasn't enough, vice president of AUSOUG, which we'll learn more about, Mr. John Bushell or Bushell?
Bushell.
Bushell. John Bushell, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
We are delighted to have you. Looks like you've made a career here out of being like a board guy, huh? So tell us, how did this come to be, you becoming a board member of OAUG?
Okay, so I've been involved with the Oracle Applications User Group in Australia for over 20 years. You'd never guess that looking at my age. Right?
No, you must have joined when you were like 12.
That's right. And the opportunity was from an Australian Oracle User Group, so the OSOG Group, to form a relationship with a number of groups around the world to bring the expertise which is available around the world into Australia. So they picked me to come across to the U.S., and work with the OAUG on the board as the international relationships guy. So firstly, I came in and they wanted to just talk to me about, well, everything is done in American time zone, so you better get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get on the phone course.
So that's why you said, I'm going to form my own group here in Australia, so I don't have to wake up at 3 a.m.
That's right. And so it was part of the education program of the OAUG board then, when they were very North American focused, that they need to sometimes change the spelling of words and also consider it webinars and things in different time zones. And also there are various aspects which cannot be accommodated in various countries. So as an example, you can't talk in a particular country about cloud computing, because that country does not have a cloud and is not allowed to take their data out of the country.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
What countries are those? You can't talk about
there's
it?
There's a number of them, but I can't tell you.
Wow.
But we've got to be aware of it. That surprised you, because I had no idea that's not even, the infrastructure's not there. And
the privacy, the country itself, the politics of the country.
How about
and I'll
that?
Stop there.
Fair enough.
But it becomes an issue, and so people need to be made aware of those issues. And the OAUG board was happy enough to invite me along, and I was pleased to participate. That started about 7 years ago, and because I was the only international person who would possibly fly across the Pacific to be involved.
So you got the short straw.
I did. That's right.
It takes a little while to get over on this side of the pond, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it's about a 32-hour flight.
Oh, my.
So now, what are you in Australia? What do you do day to day?
What do I do for a real job?
So you have a real job in addition to this?
Man, I'm very impressive.
See, well, I'm a semi-retired guy. I decided to bow out of the Oracle industry, of working for Oracle about 15 years ago, and going into sports, so doing Ironmans and triathlons and so
really?
On.
So you were with Oracle
in Australia? I was with Oracle, yeah, in Australia, looking after their education nationally, and also looking after their partners for a while as a national partner manager. And I decided that I didn't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to train for Ironman. I'd much rather get up at 10 o'clock when the sun's up in Australia. So I decided to retire, and thank God my wife kept working to keep us in money. And then decided that, you know, you can only train for so many hours, so I better do something. And I had the skill in
that
Oracle.
That was your wife's idea, right?
Well, she didn't want me at home all the time.
She's like, hey, I found this for you.
And so because of my skills in Oracle, the user group discovered me and picked me up and said, would I be involved with them? So I've been involved from a state perspective and then got onto the national board as the vice president for my sins.
But I'm sure your background with Oracle has helped the people that are involved with the user groups, right? Your expertise and your connections with Oracle.
Oh, immensely. Doors, right? Yeah. Because I had the history with them. I started when basically they first started in Australia with eBusiness Suite. Was involved with the first customer there from an education perspective. And so that's brought in a lot of contacts, a lot of people that I know around the world, because, you know, Oracle is one of these multinationals that moves people around, and you never know where you're going to catch up with somebody.
And then has this been rewarding for you to see the growth and the change and the evolution of Oracle?
I certainly appreciate it, because I do have a part-time role as a consultant, and I'm a strategic advisor to organizations, which mean if a company goes and decides to buy Oracle or implement Oracle, I will actually go in and talk to the CEOs, CIOs, and make sure they get the most out of their dollar by working with Oracle in their ecosystem.
So that keeps you have to stay up to date with all the changes, upgrades, right?
Yeah, so these conferences, meeting the various people within Oracle who are really great at communicating the message across, which then allows me to make sure that companies are aligned correctly.
I want to hear a little bit more about Oracle culture, because it's just absolutely remarkable to me, and I've heard this as a theme through all of the conversations that we've had. This organization just seems to do a tremendous job of capturing feedback and information and needs and wants and desires from the customer base, and not just as this little lip service customer service support area. I mean, they really use it to shape product and service. Just can you speak to the Oracle culture a little bit? Because it seems like it's a very unique environment.
It's certainly very unique. They treat their people extremely well, and that encourages good feedback to them from the customers through the people. So we had an opportunity the other day to talk with Cliff Godwin and Nadia Benajou, who are the OEG guys. And the opportunity is recognized by our members. So before I come over, I put a little survey out to all the guys going, okay, so what do you want me to talk to these people about? And they take it on board. So I'll give you an example. I was over in Asia recently doing an e-business suite rollout. And one of the questions was, well, we want to upgrade to 12.2, latest version of the business suite. And yet Oracle is telling me I should only upgrade to 12.1.3. So I said, oh, okay, let me find out that. So I raised it at this meeting with them, and suddenly I got this full report about the various countries, what they can do, because country localization, and also, you know, the support of that. So they're very good at communicating through us back to the members, which is really what the OEG is about, and what the members recognize as being our value, is that opportunity to talk to Oracle and their receptiveness. Other changes have been come through from the OEG, from their members, and they've been recognized by Oracle and changed procedures and policies and everything. Yeah.
Now, when you're here at Las Vegas at Collaborate 14, what are you going to bring back to your people in Australia?
Probably a few glasses with Las Vegas on.
Memories. Right. Now, is there anything that you got out of this?
Really, Beck? Yeah.
It's your call. Go any way you want, John.
You know, this is all being documented for posterity.
Yeah,
hands up.
I think it's about the latest roadmap for Oracle,
right?
And I'm going to talk a bit dirty now, a bit technical here. There's a couple of products called Endeca and User Experience,
right? Mm-hmm.
And they are really big now for Australia. They're just beginning to, because we've just done most of the migrations. We're now looking at what's the next steps. So it's going to be okay. So in the future, guys, what we should be focusing on is Endeca, on User Experience. And then for my perspective, to meet the people here and encourage them to come down to Australia, which you can imagine isn't difficult, and to get those right Oracle people down in Australia to talk to the members. So that's what I'm going to be taking back. But I've already done tweets about 3 or 4 people who've signed in blood to come down. So,
Now, your group in Australia, the OUG in Australia, you guys get together on a regular rhythm?
Yeah. If you can imagine that Australia is the same size as America, and so it's broken up into 7 states.
Okay.
So each state has a committee, and each state runs monthly meetings. and the opportunity is for the members to get together on that level. And there's normally a beer or two afterwards because you've got to encourage people to come along.
The culture.
That's it, yeah. Also, we run an extensive series of webinars which go down through Australia and then through Asia, because we also look after Japan and Asia and China.
And the balance of your time here this week, we're getting kind of toward the end of the week. Anything in particular? You got some more education sessions, or are you going to walk the carpet and visit with some folks?
I've got a number of vendors here that I need to catch up with, because they're joint vendors, so they're down in Australia as well. And there's a lot of partners and vendors who want to come down to Australia. So there was a tweet recently which indicated that I was over here on the stand, and if they wanted to catch up and... There's a few people come knocking on the door.
So now, if there's anybody in Australia that isn't involved in the user group, what advice would you have? Like, what's a compelling reason to join?
I think the compelling thing is that you have opportunity to worldwide knowledge through the user group. So the SIGs, the blogs, just the papers from the various conferences, which are available to people.
So you think that it's a must-join association?
Oh, definitely, for an e-business suite or for an applications-type person. And not just Australia, by the way. I look after the world outside of North America. So Japan, China, Dubai, Germany, and so on. So the opportunity is for all of those countries that are not North American to join in and share their experience and gain from that.
And the more members, the richer and the better the group is.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you can have a beer with John virtually anywhere on
in the
globe.
World.
You could.
Stay very well informed. All right, where can our listeners go to learn more, maybe have a conversation with you or someone on your team about getting involved with either OAUG or AUSOUG?
Yep. Ozog. Yeah.
Ozog.
Ozog. you can go to the website, ozog.org.au, if you're in the East or in the Asia-Pacific region. Or from an OAUG perspective, of course, it's oaug.org, and you'll find me on the website there as jbushall@oaug.org.
All right. Well, John, it's been an absolute pleasure having you join us this morning. Thanks, man.
Great to talk to you.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor at Collaborate 2014.